Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it
body punches?
I was hitting him with body punches, and I heard him actually crying in there. You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely,
I knew you were fucking tough and you were taking those punches.
Deep Nasty Productions.
Making women dances up.
Let's go, champ. This is the champ. Keep sharing the champ. With the same champ. With Tally, my nigga.
BoxingVoice.com. It's the champ of the podcast. King's out here, baby. TBV, we are back with another edition of the Boxing Voice. And we're going to be bringing you a live guest in about 15 minutes. We'll have Gerald Miller. Since we're going to be discussing Joseph Parker's first defense, who else to have on but the guy that they're expecting to have that defense with? Gerald Miller. Obviously, another option is Huey Fury, who is over in the United Kingdom. We'll do our due diligence to try and get him on the show as well. But right now, we have Gerald Miller scheduled at noon Eastern time. So definitely tune in if this is something you're interested in, something you think you want to participate. Remember, that number to call in is 1-425-569-5241. And for my international callers, all you have to do is add Nesta Gibbs on Skype. Resort down to the overlay to see the Skype information. And definitely hit us up. So, man, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's just talk about it. Joseph Parker, recently crowned WBO champion, made his defense over Andy Ruiz about a week ago, not too long out now. And, you know, he's looking to do what people are criticizing Wilder of, obviously. I mean, he's going to be taking on a good defense. Huey Fury is a decent heavyweight. Gerald Miller is a decent heavyweight. Both contenders on the way up that obviously no one is giving any really big shots at. But here, Joseph Parker and Bob Arum, because Bob Arum is now promoting, obviously, Joseph Parker. So Bob Arum is the one pulling all the strings. And, you know, he's saying that this fight is something that he's interested in making, something that, you know, he thinks would be a good fight. You know, it's funny that Bob still feels like that Ruiz and Joseph Parker fight was a draw. I mean, talk about being a promoter, you know what I mean? But for those just tuning in, we're going to have Gerald Miller on, who is one of the options for Joseph Parker. This heavyweight division is booming right now. I mean, with, you know, Vladimir Klitschko and Anthony Joshua set to have a huge super fight in the first quarter of next year. You know, Deontay Wilder finally getting off the inactive list and going to get a fight under his belt. And now Joseph Parker, who is, like I said, newly crowned, is already speaking of, you know, getting in the ring. And some of those possibilities, like we said, Huey Fury. Now, is Huey Fury on that level for Joseph Parker? I mean, Joseph Parker didn't do anything out of the ordinary to you know, think that Fury would be in any real danger. But has Fury shown us anything that says that he can dethrone the newly crowned WBO champion in Joseph Parker? I mean, Joseph has been in there with better opposition, to say the least. Huey Fury is a novice, and, you know, he's only really holds, like, wins over Dominic Gwynn and Fred Casey are the most familiar names outside of any UK names that some of our, you know, international listeners may know. But I remember when Huey Fury was a possible opponent for, well, not a possible opponent, but definitely being mentioned in the headlines with Deontay Wilder. And people didn't have an issue with that, so they shouldn't have an issue with Joseph Parker. But let me head on over to the Sunshine State, to the good doctor, and see how everything's going over in Florida.
Boxing them thing was going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this side. We're going to head on over to the doctor,
Sunshine State.
Boxing MD.
Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to me? You have to be honest with yourself.
Not hearing you at all, MD. Check those settings. But let's see if the producer has got his stuff together. Is there another guy with everything in the bag here?
Stepping nothing but smooth sailing.
Mic check.
Loud and clear.
That's how you do it, Smalls.
The doctor doesn't know how to perform surgery on that mic, huh?
It's all right.
He didn't revitalize the mic.
I'm sure that he just spoke some amazing truth into that mic, and the mic just overblew. That's the only logical conclusion. All right. As far as logical conclusions go, I'm really trying to figure out who I think is really leading this race to fight Joseph Parker. I think Joseph Parker right now represents to a lot of heavyweights what Charles Martin represented at one point, and that is the easiest way to get to a heavyweight crown. And that's not to say Joseph Parker is not a good fighter, but I really do think that amongst the other champions, he might be perceived as the weak link. And based on the names that I've heard who are, like, you know, gunning for him, I think that I think it's going to be a popularity contest, and that's what it's going to come down to.
Mic check.
Yeah, you're good. Who do you think is the more popular fighter then? Is it
It's Gerald Miller. It's Gerald Miller, because it's Gerald Miller, Huey Fury. I'll agree that Huey Fury has a good obviously there's the name, and he's got a lot of hype kind of like coming around him as well. But I think that Joseph Parker is going to want to take a Gerald Miller fight over a Huey Fury. Actually, you know what? I don't know. Gerald might be a more bigger threat. I think the more popular name is Gerald Miller, though, by far.
Now, are you saying that because you live in America, because the last name Fury?
Yes, no, I'm definitely saying that. I'm definitely saying that because I live in America, but that's the point. Isn't Parker promoted by Top Rank now? Doesn't Bob Arum?
That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to come back to the U.S. to put him on U.S. soil, because Bob Arum said that he learned something from
You could do the fight from over there and still put it on American television.
Listen, Bob Arum made a lot of money off
Burger King over there with Joseph.
No, I was going to say made a lot of money off Zeus Ming. And I don't think many Americans besides us boxing fans know who the fuck he is, right? So I think Huey Fury by far is a bigger name. No disrespect to Baby Miller. Baby Miller is I will ask him about this. He's still almost like an active kickboxer. So it's, you know, I guess he's trying to make his name in boxing, but Huey Fury, because of his brother, because of their family, is a much bigger name and a much sexier fight. And maybe Joseph Parker would go to the UK to fight him. So if I was Parker, I'd take Fury.
Yeah, and if you're Parker and you take that Fury fight, you can do it in the UK, and you kind of let everyone know over there. They get to see you, because the big fish is obviously Joshua. So you want to have some sort of drawing power either in America or in the UK, so that you can get yourself the attention of Anthony Joshua or the winner of that fight, and possibly get a big payday, because ultimately that's what everyone wants in these divisions is, to get paid.
Paid and exposure. And again, like, I think Peter Fury, I've seen a few of his fights. He looks okay, and so does Joseph Parker. Like, none of them look like they're so elite, but I still would favor Joseph Parker right now over Peter Fury, you know, who had issues with
Peter's the father.
Sorry, Peter, yeah. Huey Fury, who he had issues with his cystic acne, and that is a very difficult disability to overcome to be a professional athlete. Not that many, you know, it's like we joke about it, but, I mean, can you imagine how that would feel, like, yourself, like, become – I don't know.
Well, speaking of Huey, I mean, excuse me, Peter, he says that Huey finally has the right medication now, and it's been working, and that's why they're looking for the bigger fights.
I hear you. Well, we'll see. That'll be seen, you know, in the future, you know. And you could even see in that picture, right, like it's apparent. You could see the severe scarring on his body. It almost looks like boils, but that is from essentially cystic acne, like I said.
Yeah, that looks bad, yo. You know.
Yeah, and it looks bad, and you could, like I said, you could imagine how painful that would be.
I know. I mean, I don't even know how do you not bust them shits, right? Like, how do you not just go crazy and bust them? Ugh. Steven, you wanted to say something? We're in the middle of something, then you got cut off.
It wasn't really relevant.
All right. Well, remember, ladies and gentlemen, that number 1-425-569-5241. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be having Big Baby on. We're going to be talking to him and see what he think about these heavyweight suckers. You know, that's his favorite word to use, calling everybody suckers. Let's see what the big guy from the BK. Man, there's also that video floating around of him being 310 pounds, still kickboxing, still throwing those legs around like MD was saying. So it'd be interesting to get his takes on that and see. I'm going to head and open up these phone lines while we wait and get to some alumni since we got them waiting.
Don't even respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga.
Fight doctor, talk to me. Looking like fight doctor is not on there. Let me get out to Coach Mitty here. All right, here we go. Coach, you there? Mitty. What?
Well, you hear me, Ness?
I hear you fine.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so Huey Fury, this would be a huge step up for Huey Fury. He's kind of been, kind of staying on the outskirts, Lucien Boutte style, the way we were talking yesterday, waiting for an opportunity. There's always talks of him versus someone, but they never kind of pan out.
No, this is not Lucien Boutte. This is a young kid who's developing, who has yet to get the opponent that we are willing to say that he's a top heavyweight. So I think it's different. You know, that's not, he's not hiding. He's there. 22 years old, Ness. You got to factor that in. And he's a heavyweight. A heavyweight division in which often a lot of the fighters don't mature until they're, 30.
I don't know, man. I feel like we've heard so much about him, right? It could be the obvious relationship with Tyson Fury, so he's gotten a lot of exposure. But we've been kind of waiting on Huey to arrive. I'm not rushing him either. I mean, he's got, 20 fights?
Yeah, but, and I heard – yeah, and
you have to admit that we have heard his name tossed around with a lot bigger names for a few years now.
Well, that's because he's in the family that talks a lot, and his brother, his older brother, obviously, was the man before he had his personal issues in the heavyweight division. And I saw a good sometimes I do look at the chat time to time, and I'll give this guy a shout out because it's a good point. HH1200. He goes, Huey is on about the same level where Lubin is. And I think that's fair to say.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Lubin is handling guys in a manner in which excites us.
Well, I'm saying in the same level as far as the progression of their career. I think that
it still would be technically wrong. Lubin has about 15, 16 fights. And Lubin has faced.
Don't say you know, this.
What? He hasn't faced more veterans and former champions? I mean, look, Huey's got Fred Cassie on his resume, bro. Like, that's it.
Yeah, but that's, I would say that still at this point of his career is about equivalent of anything that Lubin's done. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's.
But why? Casey isn't anything at all. Like, all you know of Casey is that you watch them fight other heavyweights,
including the one who we're about to have on the line.
Yeah. And what happened to him?
Hey, man, they both stopped him.
Okay. But don't act as if Casey is this, you know, tell-all, be-all. Like, you know, it's not. And that's one guy. Lubin, remember, Lubin fought Orlando Lara at like 14-0, man. You kidding me? Lubin is a...
Yo, I like Lubin as far as...
You can't try to compare the two and say they're on the same trajectory. That's not true because Lubin is a blue chip. Fighting Orlando Lara is like Fury fighting Cassie when he was 15-0 or 10-0. Listen, you know, and that shit wasn't happening.
Lubin looks better on the eye test, and I think very highly of Lubin. So, like I said, maybe where they are right now, based on what you think they could be, is a difference of, I guess, opinion. But I don't know. I think that I think that Parker didn't look great in his last opponent, but I still see – people are being a little too hard on Parker. I still see things – that he did very well. I just think that his timing was really his biggest issue, because I think that he didn't really counter properly. He was never really.
I remember talking about that with UMD. Yeah. He didn't look like he was. If anything, he looked a little. I don't know what you might see in other fighters and call it rusty, because his timing was really bad in those early rounds, and also, I really don't think that he was doing a lot of what he was doing with like a clear purpose. He seemed to be boxing off the back foot and reacting a lot as opposed to setting things up. I said that again on the other podcast. So Joseph Parker, while again, this is why I was saying, I think that other fighters would be looking at him as the easy, quick way to the championship, because compared to someone like Anthony Joshua, I don't think Parker has like bone shattering power. I think he's got good power, but he doesn't really have like bone shattering power that's gonna shake you and make you hurt. He was a lot like Andy Ruiz. That's why the matchup was so interesting. They're both fast combination punchers. And what Parker did different though was that he boxed backwards.
What would Parker do to Chris Arreola?
I think he beats him early. I think he stops him in a couple rounds.
So why is it such a foregone conclusion that Joseph Parker is not a tougher fight than someone like Wilder, because we don't know where he is in it with his hand. And now I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying that we don't know where the hand is. The hand will be continuously an issue. And I think that Parker has recently shown that he's maybe not what a lot of people thought he would be, which is the beast of the division. But I think that he would give Wilder a great fight, maybe even beat him.
I think he gives Wilder a great fight as well. If someone like an Eric Molina was able to land that big left hook, I'm confident that Parker would be able to land some punches. But I think the reason why he's not perceived as a big threat as Wilder and Joshua, I think, is because I'm going to go size. Joshua, how tall is Joseph Parker? He's not like a
6'4", isn't he?
Well, there you go. Like Joshua and Wilder are only a few inches taller than him, but I think the reach is longer for a Wilder. Wilder can hit you from across the ring, man.
Yo, would Joseph Parker be the best win on Wilder's resume?
Definitely, especially if he has a title. Well, that would be a unification.
Okay, so why is it obscene for me saying that? I think a lot of people exaggerate Wilder's where he is as a heavyweight, and I think a lot of people like to hate on Parker because a lot of people think.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Joseph Parker would be the best win on any heavyweight's resume, name not fucking Vladimir Klitschko, man.
Or Fury.
Hey.
Or Fury.
Yeah, but those guys, he's not even in the game right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know yeah, I mean? I hear you.
Joseph Parker is the one of the four horsemen of the top, right? It's like Joshua, Wilder, Joseph. And whoever is the dark horse, maybe Gerald Miller coming up, maybe Huey Fury coming up, Maybe who else? Cause got some.
I mean, Ruiz still's there. Like he lost, but he looked. He showed some things in that fight. Like so, it wasn't like he was. But he
doesn't look like he's gonna come back after that loss and take over the division, though.
No, but I'm saying that he's a legitimate opponent. That's real. Like he's a police. I consider him still a player, at least a player in regards to getting a fight against a bigger name, right? I mean, it seems to me that you don't have to be flawless to get a shot at one of these guys. So I think he'll still be there. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Big Baby's still in the gym. So phone lines are working. Let me get out to Too Tough in Brooklyn.
Hey, yo, what up, y'all? What up, MB? What up, Ness? Listen, yo, Big Baby is the dude, yo. He could promote a fight, yo. He is, without question, a vocal person. The way he was screaming on Wilder on the radio shows in the summertime, yo, they are hilarious. And, of course, since he's from Brooklyn, I'm rolling with my dude. But I'm not so... That's a dangerous fight. I think he'll beat Parker, honestly. Jarrell Miller is good, man. He's good, and his hands is fast. He's bigger than what Ruiz is.
Hey, Too Tough, I'm not going to check your call. I just want to ask you real quick. Do you think Big Baby Miller is more popular than Huey Fury?
Yeah, yo, my bad. I ain't shout you out. Sorry, Steven. But anyway, go ahead.
That's all good. I was just asking you who you thought was more popular, Big Baby Miller or Huey Fury.
I would think Fury is a little bit more popular, but Miller could sell a fight better. But honestly speaking, I thought Aram also talked about Price with like a third option for Parker to defend the title. But I don't know. But because Fury... They would have to really fight in like a UK country in order for it to really be big, you know. Unless he's anything like his cousin, and I don't know if he'd like his cousin with the mouthpiece. If he was like Tyson, then you know he could sell a fight just like that. But Jarrell Miller is more like Tyson Fury than Huey is with the mouth, and he could definitely sell a fight. But you know, Joseph Park ain't gonna fight back. He don't really talk back. So you know, I don't know, man. Either fight will be a good test for Parker, nonetheless. You know, Fury or...
I see what you're saying, but see, that's why it's so interesting to me. It's because I agree with you. I think Big Baby Miller sells a fight better than Huey Fury. And because he sells the fight better, I think it's got a potential to make more. So not only is he popular here in America, and he's got a bigger potential, I think, to be popular across
the world. Yeah, but that fight, I don't think it gets any traction, any real traction in the UK, being as though that Parker's...
Dude, they like Shannon Briggs because of the outlandish shit he does. Like, Baby Miller hangs out with Briggs. I think Big Baby would be big out there.
Let me just give you some facts, because earlier I think we were debating, it probably was a previous show, I don't know, we were so caught up here with all the shows that we have been doing. But there was some debate as to where the fight would take place or where Joseph would be fighting now that he's promoted by Bob. But Bob is saying, and I quote, "I think Parker's going to fight in the end of March. And I think the plan is to give him a fight in the United States," Aram said. "Maybe Vegas or Los Angeles or New York. We'll see where makes the most sense." That's
New York would be good if it's Miller, because he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. So that matchup makes sense. Too Tough.
I'll hit the thumbs up, people.
Yeah, you know who else is from Brooklyn? MD.
That's right. They don't know much about MD around these parts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look, I've heard rumors of the David Price thing. I guess that's a good win, you know, but that's something that you want to do over there in the UK, though, right? Guys, you want to send Joseph Park over there, put him on a nice UK card in front of a couple thousand people, and have him knock out David Price. Now the question is, does he knock out David Price if he didn't knock out Andy Ruiz, or does Andy Ruiz have a good solid chin for a heavyweight?
I would say that his fight with Parker proves that he's got a good chin as a heavyweight, because he wasn't stopped and Parker cracked him with some good shots and he responded the appropriate way, which is try to crack him back.
Yeah, but how do we know that Parker has the real power?
Well, I guess that's yet to be seen, but it's just based on eye test. I mean, there was a time when we were like, okay, well, how do we know Deontay has the real power? Because he was stopping everybody, but he fought Bermain Stiverne and couldn't stop him. You know, it's just, it'll be kind of proven over time. As of now, I would say that he seems to have power. And I would assume that it's Andy Ruiz's chin and his boxing ability. Andy Ruiz, he knows how to move his head in there when he's taking shots, and he rolls a bit of the punches off. And I certainly think that he has a good chance of knocking out David Price. David Price, I'm not big on him. After he lost to Tony Thompson the second time,
multiple times.
Yeah, after the second loss to Tony Thompson, I lost all hope and or any. Not that I had hope, and I'm not from the UK, but I stopped believing in David Price. And to tell you the truth, I haven't seen him do anything since. So to me, it's like, okay, the one time he was supposed to step up, he lost. It's not like he's more proven than a Baby Miller or Huey Fury even. Like he has one good win over Ollie Harrison in one round. But other than that, like I wouldn't say that he's more proven or even much more of a veteran. I mean, he's lost, so he has the experience losing to a Tony Thompson, but I don't think he's a better fighter.
They're asking you to fact check MD's claim to Brooklyn. Let's jump out to
you want me to tell you the address? Park Slope area, right? It's not the necessarily the same area where Baby Miller is, but it's Park Slope, which you know, it was kind of rough, you know, when I was born there. I was kidding.
No,
they're trying to trump you, MD. They're using your politics against you. They're trying to trump you. Show them the birth certificate.
I'm just saying, like, my birth certificate's legitimate.
Let me
I didn't need 4 months. I'm gonna offend people. I didn't need 4 months to produce that shit. Be offended.
Let me get out to some of these international callers waiting here on with us. Coach Mitty, I'm going to go back out to you.
Yeah, no, I'm just listening. I can't talk to you right now.
All right. I'm going to go to Craig. Talk to us.
Hi, yeah. All right. I'm back. I believe Joseph Parker should fight Huey Fury. Obviously in the UK. But obviously because of what you just said, you said about how his promoter, Joseph Parker's promoter, wants him to fight in Vegas. So obviously, you know, it is going to be Jarrell Miller. But personally, I would like to see him fight Huey Fury. Huey Fury, there's so much optimism around his name at the moment. Everyone wants to see him fight. And I think this fight would be a massive stepping stone up for him if he fought the likes of a Joseph Parker. And if the UK get to see Joseph Parker, we get to put a name, get to see a performance and put it to the name. And it'll be great exposure for Joseph Parker. Not only we get to see interviews from him, we get to see his personality more. Obviously, Jarrell Miller will be a great opponent as well. He's enthusiastic, everything. He has all the, he has everything. It'll be great to see. But Huey Fury and Joseph Parker should happen in the UK with the undercard, maybe even with under the undercard of Joshua and Klitschko, but that's just me. So I have to say.
Hey, I have a question. So you used a word that stuck out to me when you talked about Huey Fury. Optimism. There's a lot of optimism around him. Yeah. That's like a hopefulness, right? Like, so you guys in the UK are big on that or what? Because over here, it's like, I'm not hopeful that Jarrell Miller, there's a lot of hype around him because he's allowed fun loving, hard hitting, punching, come and get you type fighter. Like that's not what sells for you guys. It's things like optimism.
It's not that. It's more we're just really intrigued to see what Huey Fury has because I don't know. Maybe we do have optimism. Maybe it does sell a lot. Optimism does sell a lot. Maybe in the UK, yes, that is true. But I think it will give not even just because of Huey Fury's name, but just because of the exposure in the UK and how big fighting is, I think it will sell massively. And I think Joseph Parker, We get to see his, we get to see his character. We get to see the fight. I think it'll be great for him because, you know, we need to build up a profile for the likes of Joseph Parker.
I agree. And that is one of the options, you know, take him to the United Kingdom because, again, all roads lead to Anthony Joshua. It doesn't matter what heavyweight you admire or what heavyweight you're optimistic about. You want to see him versus Anthony Joshua.
Or possibly Klitschko if Klitschko wins. Don't write Klitschko.
Not even. No. Not even. And I'll explain. Listen, Steven, if Vladimir, oh, excuse me, people are so mad that I'm pronouncing it with the W, it's Vladimir. If Vladimir happens to win, most of us will probably kill ourselves. We were not happy with his 12-year reign. HBO abandoned the heavyweight division because of him. That fight where he and David Haye was ridiculousness. Okay.
Listen.
No one wants to see him win.
It's not just because Klitschko. It's because we don't have, like, besides, we didn't have any heavyweights to compete with him.
No, we just didn't like his style of dominance. Punch and grab. No one likes that.
I think that's a little, that doesn't tell the whole story. I think it's important to note that we don't have, before Wilder, we didn't have any American heavyweight champions.
It doesn't matter. Boxing is an international sport.
HBO is an American-based network.
Oh, you're speaking of why they decided to stop investing?
Of course.
Showtime is an American network, and they invested into Anthony Joshua. It's about the fighter. No. Let me make my point. It's about the fighter. Joshua screams excitement. Joshua is attractive, and he can attract women and men too. Vladimir is Vladimir. He's Dr. Steel Boring.
Hey, man, that's your opinion. You know, I think some of his fights weren't the best, but I think a lot of the issues were that his opponent wasn't necessarily up to challenge his fighting style. Like, you know, and when someone is able to do a little, you know, challenge his fighting style in some ways, he makes for a good fight. Again, I think that people are – here's my thing. It's like we – most of the time with Klitschko, if you go back and look at some of his fights, like against Tony Thompson – you see a clinch hold, and a jab hold. Some things that are obviously not mostly aesthetically pleasing, but the same people who like slick fighters should appreciate his style because it's fundamentally perfect.
He's not slick. He's technically
perfect.
Bad mechanical.
At the end of the day, you see a magnificent knockout. I mean, the way don't laugh that.
You have to wait forever for it.
Same way we see Crawford.
Let's play a game. Would you, for free, go back and watch Tyson Fury versus Vladimir Klitschko?
Do I get to be there in person?
That was one of the worst fights I've ever seen.
Oh, wait, hold on. You can't say I can't be there in person.
Would you go back and watch Melina Crawford?
No, we're sticking to the topic, brother. Quickly, man. Let's make this because he's got a lot of shit fights we're going to run down. No, right? So you both said no. What about the Brian Jennings fight? Was that exciting enough for you? Did you like that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Pulev?
I would watch.
Of course. Fuck yeah.
I would watch.
You can run that in a loop. I'll watch that all day.
I would watch Pulev again without a doubt. What about the Leopold fight? Fuck.
Probably not.
No. The Povetkin fight?
You couldn't pay me to watch that fight.
No, that was a terrible fight.
I was going to be honest and say we would probably watch it based on the name value because Povetkin was, you know, he's a name. But like, look at this, Francesco Pinata. No, what about
Human Pinata? No.
What about Maurice Vak?
No, but then Tony Thompson, yes.
What about the John Mormack fight? I remember they put that one on fucking Epics HD. This dude couldn't stay on a network because he's not exciting. It doesn't matter that the knockouts came.
Right. It doesn't matter. I mean, go back and watch the Lehman Brewster fight. Go back and watch the Calvin Brock fight. Go back and watch the Ray Austin fight. Go back and watch Eddie Chan. You are a hater.
You're digging in the well. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
No. If that's the case, when detractors call in to speak about Floyd, I'm going to say, go back and watch the Diego Corrales fight. You sound crazy, man.
No, not necessarily.
No. What?
Hoffman,
he's 2007. He's talking about a decade ago.
I'm saying that he's not. Listen, how often do I hate on Floyd for the way he fights?
No, it's not about Floyd. We could say Oscar. Like, go back and watch what? What fight you want to say about Oscar? Go back and watch Chavez fight? No. Shit is fucking old, man. We're talking about now.
Yeah, now. And the, and his last fight was terrible, but his fight before that was not terrible. So he does produce exciting fights. So his last two fights were one for one, right? Is that fair to say?
Last two? I mean, yeah, you know, after
okay, HBO, end of story. End of story.
After HBO put their foot down and told them
that actually the last three fights were 2 for 3. So you could go fuck yourself.
2 for 3 in terms of wins, you mean?
In terms of your shitty analogy, we're 2 for 3. How many fighters do we get 2 out of 3?
What do you mean 2 out of 3?
Two good fights for one boring fight. Two good fights for one boring fight.
Jennings wasn't that good because Jennings was under his Hold on. Jennings was under his armpit like this all night. Come on, man. It was still a clinch. It was just one dude was willing to fight in the clinch where so many never did with Vladimir Klitschko. So let's stop with the optimism, all right? We know what we saw. We saw Jennings practically in a headlock with one right hand loose, beating the shit out of one side of his body. And you guys want to fucking over-exaggerate the performance?
There's that word again, optimism.
I got bullets back all day for you guys. Dude. I can shoot you all night.
Nestor.
Yes, MD?
You sound like a hater.
And you're still not disproving the fact that if Klitschko wins, all roads are going to lead back to Klitschko. Because guess what? We're going to be sending Deontay Wilder over there to kick his ass. Or we're going to be begging Joseph Parker to go over there and fucking try to put up a fight. The point was, if Klitschko beat Joshua, would all roads lead to him? Like how you're saying all roads are currently leading to Joshua. Answer is still yes, Ness.
Listen.
Boring or not. If he wins, everyone's going to want a piece of him again.
First of all, if he wins, there is no everyone. Joshua gets a rematch. He's young. They just did 90,000. No one gets an opportunity.
Ness, let me ask you a question.
Can I finish my sentence? Any sanctioning fee is going to allow that voluntary rematch to happen. You know what I'm saying? Outside of that, if Joshua wins, we all know that he doesn't need Vladimir to go again. So I'm telling you, they're going to move on.
AJ is exceptionally exciting because of his physical stature, and his fighting style is more exciting than Klitschko. But he's not proven, and that's a given. Because, you know, not everybody's Mike.
He fits the part, man. He fits the part, bro. Look, okay. The stare downs, the face-offs, the gloves are off, you know, all those things. They come into play, man. They really do. And his personality shines. When he's in the ring, you can see that he means business.
Let me ask you a question.
On top of performing business.
Do you think Lennox Lewis is an exciting fighter?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And would you say that Lennox Lewis
was like Tyson, but you know, he was more
like Vladimir.
But he got the job done.
So does Vladimir.
No. He got the job done way, way faster than Vladimir.
That I disagree with. Way faster?
Yeah, I think he had more exciting fights, man.
I like them both. I like them, but listen. I think they're both exciting fights because at the heavyweight division, especially when the majority of the time we do see a ridiculous knockout from these two guys who we're talking about, I find it differently because the risk of getting knocked out is high. Now, sometimes it makes a boring fight, but again, I appreciate the technical ability of these guys who are able to fight 10 years and not get knocked out. You know what I'm saying? And obviously of the two brothers, Vitaly was more exciting because he got hit more and he has a better chin.
I hear you, man. But so many people adapted Lennox, and it was for a reason, brother. It wasn't because he was born. Let's stop at so wait. Let's just get something clear so we could.
And the same thing with Vladimir. You see how the stadium sold out in Germany.
Because we're getting, you know, we're turning this into a Vladimir show, right? Like, let's just be clear here. Are you insinuating that the word boring and Vladimir has not been associated with him for the last 10 years?
I think that people choose to use that word to fit an agenda.
But has it?
It's the same, I guess.
All right. That's all I'm saying. You know, I'm not trying to make anything.
But the same thing with your boy, the same thing with your boys in Lara, in Regum Dow, in Floyd Mayweather. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if some of the idiot casual fans choose to call him boring because he neutralizes an opponent one way or the other. That's their fault. You know what I'm saying? But it's our fault for appreciating what he's doing in the ring, never ducking an opponent, fighting 1 through 5 consistently, and finishing most of those guys. Now, it's not his fault that the guy can't, you know, the guys don't come to the ring and the heavyweight division's weak. Now, if we had an American heavyweight to challenge Vladimir Klitschko, who could beat him, like someone like an Evander Holyfield, right? I think that would be make the heavyweight division more exciting. So, our top athletes don't box anymore. They play football or basketball for that size. And hopefully something changes. That's why the heavyweight division is weak in America.
But you do recognize that we do have an American heavyweight who we could expect to do that, right?
Now, that's what I'm saying. Before now. Now. But before that, we didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you tell me the best American heavyweight between, I would say, I guess who lasted longer? I guess Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, and Wilder? No, Steven, who would you say is the best American heavyweight between the Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, and...
It'd have to be, by default, Shannon Briggs. He was the one who won a title.
Yep.
Let me get to some callers. We got
Calvin Brock, maybe? Calvin Brock?
Yeah. Hey, I just got you, man. I was like, oh, you're a dick.
773, you're up. Compa, you there? Oh, shit. That's my fault. Yeah. What's going on, compa?
Hey, what's up, Steven? Hey, nah, man. I just want to say the heavyweight division is booming. Hey, did you guys get that Big Baby interview, the Big Baby interview?
We're waiting on him. The man's in the gym. His gym session ran over a little late. Guess who he's sparring with, MD?
All right.
A fellow Floridian.
Keith Thurman?
All what right. The hey, Ness, fuck? I just want to say hey, Ness. We're talking about
yo, people are saying like Keith Thurman's looking like a heavyweight, so I don't know. Maybe he's getting that working. I don't know.
No. Keith Thurman's in Montego Bay blowing down, baby.
Yo, compa, what's up?
Hey, Ness. Hey, we're talking about Joshua Klitschko.
Nah, man, wrong show. We're talking about Joseph Parker and the possibilities of him facing Huey Fury or Jared Big Baby Miller next. In March.
No, but who's he sparring, Ness? Tell us. Come on.
Shannon Cannon.
Man, let's make those fights.
Let's go chip.
Let's bring the heavyweight division back to where it was. You know, everybody fighting each other. Hey, but look, I want to say this about Klitschko. You know, I'm choosing Klitschko over Joshua. I'm not like a Joshua hater or anything, but I mean, I'm just giving Klitschko his respect. You know, I mean, we've seen Klitschko lose his title, bounce back, and become champion. You know, we've seen him through adversity, man, and I mean, that's why I'm going with Klitschko, man. I would like to see Joshua win, you know, get these old fighters out of here, get the new lions in. But I think it's a tough fight for him, and props to him for taking the fight. And let's get that the big fight after, man. Bomb Squad versus Anthony Joshua or Klitschko. Hey, man, what about Tyson Fury, though, man?
He in rehab.
Bomb Squad!
Yeah, Bomb Squad's in rehab too, just for a different issue.
I'm right here on my way to Beverly Hills. So I'll let you guys go.
All right, compa. Have fun out there. Don't spend too much, man. I hear it's super expensive to shop out there. Let's go back to 773 Chicago. Talk to me. 773.
Yes, hello?
Yes, hello. You're live on the show.
Oh, good morning. DC Hervey. How are you?
We are good.
Are you a first-time caller?
Okay, perfect. No, in fact, I'm calling from Canada. It's my first time calling. How are you guys?
Good, good. Where are you using a Skype over IP phone?
Exactly.
Nice, nice. So what's your name, my friend?
My name is Herbie.
Herbie?
French speaker. Hervey, H-E-R-V-E.
Hervey, thank you for tuning in, man.
First language, Fred. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Cool, cool. So how long?
For your, for about 3 months.
Oh, 3 months. Wow. So which episode did you find us on?
Hey, I didn't quite understand the question. Go ahead again.
Which episode was it that you found us? Do you remember?
Just browsing. No, not exactly. Just browsing the because I actually follow a lot of podcasts and those type of channels, boxing channels. So I found you on one of them.
Nice, nice. So what are your thoughts on Joseph Parker, who his new promoter now, Bob Arum, is saying that the newly crowned WBO champion will be making his first defense either against Huey Fury or Jarrett Miller, Big Baby?
Right. It all depends. It all depends on the route that he wants to go first for, you know, for the unification. So if he want to go the wilder route, I'll probably presume that Jarrett Miller is a better opponent for him in the U.S. If he wants to go the Joshua road directly, I think Huey Fury or building his profile in the U.K. is probably a better option. But out of the two opponents, Huey Fury might be a bad name because of the Fury name associated to it. But it all depends on which road he wants to go with first. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, Bob is saying he wants to have him fight in the U.S., so I don't know. I don't know how big the Huey Fury name is going to be over in the U.S.
Exactly. So if I presume if he goes the U.S. road, he's looking at fighting, what's his name again, Wilder first, on a unification fight before going for Anthony Joshua.
Sounds like a good plan to me, MD. What's your thoughts?
Oh, my bad. I was just texting Shannon Briggs, making sure that he was okay with sparring. But the question is what? The Huey Fury road is the better road? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's the better road depending on what country it's in.
Yeah, I think that Big Baby, I think maybe he's a good talker, but I think that he has to get a big win, I think, to even be relevant enough to fight a world champion, because beating Fred Cassie is not enough. And I know Fury did the same, but he has that name and he has that family, so I think it's easier for him to get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guy who is sparring right now could get him like that type of a win. And, it's just – I think if you're not a big name, you have to get a big win. And right now, Ruiz has a big belt. So I would take Parker. I mean, I would take Fury.
Well, Hervey, man, we want to thank you for calling in. Obviously, we want you to subscribe to the YouTube channel or to iTunes, because we will be doing another show at 7 o'clock Eastern time that we will be having the trainer of Gennady Golovkin, Abel Sanchez, on, as well as the trainer of Daniel Jacobs, Andre Rozier, on the show. And then we have a surprise guest. Mikey Garcia is also going to be on the show. And you know he's going to be going up for that WBC title versus Latsikin. And on top of all that, you can now head over to theboxingvoice.com. And on the sidebar, you're going to see the information that you guys have been dying for, the third TBV Appreciation Night. And let me tell you, it is so crazy. I'm betting now I know. Hey, MD, your main piece of advice last week was, my only advice is if you're going to bet, do not ever bet with your heart. But I am going to not take that advice because there is some nostalgia attached to March 4th. March 4th, very many, many, many years ago, was the first ever episode of the Boxing Voice podcast. And on that first ever episode, we had Danny Garcia when he was a up-and-coming nobody.
Before he became too Hollywood for this show.
When he got that first title shot versus Eric Morales, and that day is March 4th. What day is March 4th this year? Well, next year?
It's the day that one-time Thurman unifies them belts.
You know it. You know it. I like the sound of that because it reminds me of all the other times the man has gone to war and come out victorious. So I told myself, you know what? That's it. I'm not going to let Triple G and Daniel Jacobs ruin what we got going on. We planned it on Thurman Garcia. A lot of you guys have emailed me. Patreon definitely has said Thurman Garcia because it's a more 50-50 fight. I thought for sure you guys would want the Golovkin because it was guaranteed to be a.
This is big, the best present for everybody, for TV, for my fans, for everybody, for boxing.
A drama show, right? This is what he does. But I guess the suspense of who would actually win in that Thurman Garcia, it has you guys hooked. So definitely head on over to theboxingvoice.com. Click on the banner. You're going to see his marvelous job. Shout out to Flight Media, obviously always taking care of us over there. The page is marvelous.
I kind of lost your train of thought. Who are you betting on?
I'm going to bet on the underdog.
He's betting on Garcia. He doesn't want to say it out loud.
This is after a show.
After what?
After yesterday where Ness goes, you know, I'm a grown man. I have no emotional investment in any fighter.
But I don't have any emotional investment in any fighter. I have emotional investment in that day. That was the inception of TBV. That was our launch date.
I don't know, Ness. You seem like you dig yourself pretty deep in that hole with that.
How many years is that now? Is that like 6 years?
I think it's five.
Yo, why doesn't Danny call into this show? Is he too worried that I'm going to destroy him verbally because he's simpleton?
Because he just gives me the invite. I go to the gym and I get the best Angel and Danny interviews that are on the net. That's why. Why do it over the phone when I can have a camera in his face?
I know. He knows that they're selective and they're not like, you know, willing to go into the lion's den.
Maybe he just wants you to travel a little bit, buddy.
I mean,
this guy's awfully comfortable. He wants them to be all brought to him. Listen, I didn't
know. No, I mean brought to him. There's something called the internet, and he could just pick up a fucking phone and call into the show that's been very loyal to him.
You never know, because he might just be at the TBV appreciation night. You know what I'm saying? Nobody didn't expect Deontay fucking Wilder, heavyweight champion of the world, to be there. You never know what Ness pulling out the – you know, I don't wear hats, but, I mean, every now and then.
You only wear the Latin Goonies hat.
I only wear the Latin Goonies hat. Just why a Latin Goonie might be showing up. That's why. And if not, definitely.
Would your girl, Ness, would your girl allow you to be?
Definitely Triple OG and Angel Garcia. I'll make sure Angel in there.
Would your girl allow you to be Eiffel Towered between Danny Garcia and Wilder?
Whoa. Hey, I have another question though. So
that's a joke, Ness. Don't take it personal. Come on.
You think Danny
Garcia? That's a joke.
I'm giving out the information because MD taking all these Danny shots when all I'm trying to do is let everyone know that if you felt bad about missing the first appreciation night and the second one, don't feel bad about our 5th year anniversary. And yeah, man, and that magical day, the first day that we've ever did a podcast, is going to be this year's appreciation in 2017. So you obviously have all of this year to start saving for next year. Don't spend it all on Christmas. Definitely head on over to theboxingvoice.com. Check out all the information there that you need. I mean, we've never done it this way, actually. It's always been more difficult. You finally have a place to go and see exactly what it is that's going to take place and how these events fold out, you know, come about and turn out for that matter. Also, we need at least 25 RSVPs, and we have a deadline because you never know. We might have to do something else if the demand isn't what it needs to be. Last two events were definitely great, so I'm expecting nothing more but the same. But because it's New York City, we need to get out in front of this. We don't want to be left in the dark. The last time we were in New York City and our venue got canceled same day. So we want to be ahead, and we have set a deadline. Suleiman Escala, talk to me. Suleiman, you're in New York City. Tell me that you're coming out to this year's TBV 5th year anniversary on the eve of Danny versus Thurman. I mean, you've been calling in here for so long, you know.
And Suleiman's been saying a lot of grimy shit in the chat. Would you say all that shit to my face, Suleiman?
That's not Suleiman. That's probably a troll.
I think it is Suleiman.
But listen, are you caught? If I get the opportunity, I wouldn't mind going. If Danny Garcia wins.
Yo, you never know, Suleiman. You've been calling in for so long. A lot of callers here get awards. I mean, JP got an award, Anna got an award, 646 Chris got an award. I don't know for the opportunity.
But listen, but the situation is that this is one of the reasons that I called before, and I said like all these HBO hypes up a lot of fighters, they got losses, and you got a guy like Danny Garcia from the other side from PBC undefeated, and they don't mention him as a great pound for pound. You know what I'm saying, all I see sometimes is criticism from him. Like Lomachenko has a loss, right? And he's been beaten before. For a guy that has multiple losses, then he's ducking all the undefeated fighters in the division, and you.
Yeah. What are we talking about here? Come on, Suleiman. You
ain't pound for pound when you go to life and death with Mauricio Herrera.
Yo, you're not gonna get
No, I let him answer that. You don't go life and death.
We're talking Joseph Parker. This is specifically why we split these shows up.
Okay, well, Joseph Parker's another one. Joseph Parker is gonna be signed up. With the same promoter that's messing up all these fighters. He's going to hype up Joseph Parker. He's going to put him a couple of bumps. And then he's going to go into a world-class fighter like a Deontay Wilder and get starched. You know what I'm saying? That's the end of the day. All he's doing is he's doing a lot of promoting, which some other promoters are not doing. But the fighters that he has have flaws. Like, multiple flaws. They fought hand-picked opponents. And everybody jumping on the bandwagon. Well, the real bona fide pound for pound fighter is undefeated.
Wait. Danny Garcia has no flaws. His footwork.
Danny Garcia.
His hand speed.
He should be a pound for pound entrant. Right now. He should be the top five.
Well, so you better come to the party, because if Danny there, you know he gonna want to hear that you got him top five.
Suleiman. Which is your ethnic background not Puerto Rican? You're repping the flag a little bit?
Yeah, I'm a Puerto Rican.
Oh, that explains it. That explains it. That's like Enrique. I get it.
So you guys have a good night. Thank you very much.
All right, Suleiman. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Damn, he got hit so he got chin so hard he thought it was nighttime.
Hey, let's go straight to one of the patrons here. We got Boomerang Jose. What up, Jose? You back? Double dose?
Hey, guys. Yeah, man. I told you, man. I'm taking the day off today, man. Good to see Steven there. He probably got made sure I came up next. So shout out to Steven.
Working the boards. Yeah. He's working the boards.
Yo, but MD, here's the thing. You can't say that you can't be considered pound for pound if you go life and death with Herrera. If you can be considered one of one of the pound for pound greats, if you lose to Salido, man, your arguments are tripping up on each other, man.
No. Listen.
That's a good point.
One second. First off, I never said that Vasyl Lomachenko is top five pound for pound.
Yeah,
I said he's in the top 10. Secondly, it's different because after the Herrera fight, then he went life and death with Lamont Peterson. Then he fought old fighters, bums, et cetera, et cetera. So at least Lomachenko has shown to improve since then. Has Danny Garcia shown to improve since then? Because Bernard Hopkins is a Bernard Hopkins is a Hall of Famer and lost to a no name in his second fight. So I hear what you're saying, but it's not what I'm arguing.
Fine. That's fine. All I want to say is this. Like, if you look at Danny Garcia's resume, it's pretty damn strong, man. Even if you throw in a couple of Herreras and a couple of other guys that maybe don't hit the top level as they should be. Okay, mi amor, I'll be right there. So the thing is, he's fought the top of the top, and he's fighting Thurman right now again, guys. So I was just calling in right now more than anything, excited. I have to, of course, go because I have to defend my belt. I made a commitment to Bruce, so that's going to happen. So I'm excited to go down. And, yeah, man, just hopefully we can meet that deadline. Obviously, I know I've talked to Ness before, and I know how stressful it is to make sure you get all those things in place. And
stress and isn't even the word, Jose. Stress isn't even the word. That's why I'm so happy to you and your company for doing the page so that people can have the information. Because for the last two events, I mean, I'll be honest, we haven't been able to facilitate the people the way that they need, especially with the information. But what you have done is marvelous. People need to take advantage of that. Head on over to theboxingvoice.com. Click on the banner. All the information is there. You'll see videos from the first and the second one. Pictures with all the celebrities that were there, and you don't want to miss it. We gave grab bags, you know, people got Everlast gear and shirts and signed gloves. So don't be a fool, get yours now. RSVP, we need those RSVPs immediately. Deadline is January 8th, so without that, there is no event. Jose, you flying in from Canada or what?
I'm coming in from Canada, man. I'm coming in from Canada, so I'm gonna be there 100%. I'm trying to convince
now. Wait a minute. Let me ask you. Why would you fly in for this one and not for Thurman? I mean, excuse me, and not for Golovkin Jacobs?
Well, here's the thing. I was just going to explain. My wife, she's a big fan of Triple G, but that's not who we are, man. She's not a TBV. Like, she's fully migrating over, but she's not hardcore like we are, right? This is a hardcore fight. Like, of course, the casual fan is going to want to go see Triple G. It's like seeing Tyson fight bums. Like, but this isn't – it's not going to be a fun fight. Like, this is what I told you, Ness, the other day. We all want to go watch Thurman and Garcia because a lot of us have one of those two guys as our top or favorite fighters. A lot of people have Triple G as their favorite fighter, but no one has, you know, Jacobs as their favorite fighter, right? So that's kind of where the fight doesn't really – make sense for you to make that investment. For me, it's a big investment to go all the way down from Canada.
That's not true. So we have a caller that calls in. That's the number one. What's his name?
JD.
Yep. Yeah, JD.
How many are there though?
Danny Jacobs.
Two or three of them. How many people have Thurman?
Well, that's the argument I was trying to make before he insisted upon getting retirement money, which he got. But the fight's happening, so I don't want to bitch about that anymore. It's all good.
No, the fight's a good – it's a good fight, but it's like a stay-at-home, watch it on your TV fight. You know, the Thurman Garcia fight is a, you know, go to a TVV party fight and discuss, yep, debate and have fun. And see, you know, it's going to be
a – But you like Vegas, though, right? You're a big fan of Vegas over New York?
Oh, I love Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not the – I don't like Vegas as much as you do. I like New York better. I have family there. I have friends there.
Yeah, I don't like fights. Vegas, man. Vegas.
I prefer,
maybe if we could do Vegas in the heat.
But I'll tell you guys one thing though, that's true. Like the Thurman Porter fight, the atmosphere was electric, guys. And if you've never been to a fight in the East Coast, I can tell you that was a great fight. The energy was amazing. Like New York
City is the place to be, man. Why do you think Triple G is coming to New York all these times? New York City is the place to be. Even though I'm trying to get away, I want them to hold fights on the beach, man. Fuck that. Give me a vacation since I'm spending vacation money for this weekend.
And I'll also tell you one thing that's true, man. The East Coast boxing fans, they show up more than the West Coast guys do. You can ask Ned down there for Ward. It was a great fight, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't as packed as the East Coast fights are, right?
It wasn't meant to be in Las Vegas.
Well, I wouldn't say that Las Vegas is West Coast. Las Vegas is obviously not on the coast. So I think a better comparison would be like a Los Angeles fight because they do go out, you know, to big, I guess, Mexican versus Mexican fights in L.A. So certain fights in L.A. are good. So it's, you know, Vegas is not as big of a city as New York or Los Angeles, obviously.
No, absolutely. I guess as a closing statement, all I'm going to say is, guys, if you're truly a fan of TBV, you know a lot of people, it just shoots down the middle. Either you're with Danny or you're against him. Danny is probably the most polarizing fighter in TBV history. Because you either love him, because, you know, you're a fan and a follower of TBV. And maybe
if you're not with him, yo, would you say if you're not with him, you're what? Never been a lame-o. Never been a lame-o. If you're not with him, you're what?
And that's the thing. If you're not with
him, if you're not with him, what did you say? My thing. If you're not with him, you're what?
I said if most TBV guys that tend to tilt towards Ness's side and agree with Ness are Garcia fans, and guys that aren't.
I just wanted you to say the word against again. I'm sorry. I like how Canadians say the word.
Right. So that's the thing. Like, you know, a lot of Danny Garcia fanboys out there are gonna cry, man. Bruce is gonna be one of them, and I'm gonna take the belt back to Canada, and I hope to meet a lot more guys this time around. So that's all I got, boys, and I'm pumped for this fight.
That's right. I forgot all about that. You guys could check that out on the TBV Las Vegas teaser. Jose won all the gold, man. A lot of gold. Dude,
He went home strapped up, man. Oh, man.
The Ring Magazine, the WBC, and
his luggage going back home was 20 pounds.
Yeah, heavy. No, he said he had to pay extra money for that shit, yo. But he said it was a trip because they made him take it out of his luggage in the airport. Everybody thought he was a fighter.
That's awesome.
Dumb awesome. Hell yeah.
That's fucking rad, dude. He must look like a straight fucking Jeep whipping out
TBV's
all that.
TBV's own editor, Matt. Matt, what's going on, brother? We're talking heavyweights. I'm sure you're into all these guys that not very many people know. Joseph Parker is going to be making his first defense versus Huey Fury or Jeremy.
Can you come back to me after the next caller?
Sure. Joey, talk to me, Joey.
All right, thank you.
Yo, how's it going, Ness? I just jumped on when Canadian Jose was talking about it. So did you get Big Baby Miller on already?
We are waiting. The dude was sparring Shannon Briggs, man. So we're just waiting. I'm okay. Texting with him people.
What is this topic then, Ness? Is it basically he's going to get the winner of Parker versus of Huey Fury?
This topic is that Bob Arum is saying it's either Huey Fury or Gerald Miller who will be making the fight versus Joseph Parker of his first defense of the WBO. Hey, Joey, head on over to the TBV page, brother, theboxingvoice.com. We actually have you as part of the promotion. You're going to love it. It's when you actually won that WBC that you lost versus Kell Brook versus Gennady Golovkin.
Hey,
but
hey, man,
you are there in remembrance.
I got rid of my old promoter. I'm in negotiating right now with a new promoter, so I'm coming back strong, man.
Oh, you're just trying to get ranked?
Back, but I'm coming back strong, man. Yeah, I'm trying to. Man, I'm mad I missed out on that topic earlier, but it's all good. I was coming up next, but I had to go, man. But I hope Big Baby gets this, man, because he needs to step up and face a tough opponent, and I don't know if Bob's gonna put him in there with Miller though, man. I think he's gonna go with Huey Fury instead. Ness, real quick before I get off, did you guys decide which party you're gonna do?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you, man. Head on over to theboxingvoice.com, click on that sidebar. You're gonna see a big picture there with Danny and Thurman and all TBV Appreciation Night info, and you're actually on there too, promoting the event, because like I said, you won those titles the first time and now you lost those to Enrique lost his title plus his ring to Jose has the WBO, the fucking ring, and the WBC, and he's gonna unify versus our very own Boomerang Pittsburgh Bruce, who's coming all the way from Pittsburgh to New York City with the IBF in clutch. So
Pittsburgh Brew don't mess around either, because he brought the title with him to the Vegas just to show it in front of Jose's face. Like, he did it real. He was there with his one belt. He was there with his one belt over his shoulder. Canada was there with all of his three belts, and they just had their straight face off.
No, because how ill would it have been, right, if, like, Bruce was there talking about, no, I'm the IBF champ, but you ain't got no belt. You know what I mean?
Exactly. He came correct.
He came strapped up. Strap me up. He was ready. He was ready for sure. He was ready. I like it, man. I like it. Let's see here. Do we got anybody else? Actually, we got to go back to Matt. I don't know if he's ready or not, man. Listen, Jarrell is taking very long. I don't know how long do we wait. I mean, I'm going to give his I actually communicated his peoples to see could they place a call. Maybe that sparring session.
That's what I'm saying.
Did he hurt Briggs or did Briggs hurt him? I mean, what's going on?
I checked Briggs' Instagram feed just because whenever he seems to have Baby Miller over, he posts stuff right away. I had not seen him post anything about Baby Miller so far today. So I don't know what's going on. Because over there, isn't it already like 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Like, shouldn't
– Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's 1. It's 1. He so was supposed to be – look, he told me he'd be done at 12. He'd be ready by 12:15. But these things happen. This is show business. Matt, are you ready?
Hey, I'm ready, guys. What's up?
What's up? You tell us, man. What's the word on these guys? You probably know more than the average fan about these heavyweight folks.
I think, actually, these guys, Huey Fury and Jarrell Miller, are almost on the same level, especially in terms of either, like, experience, overall skill. They're different styles, obviously, but I think they're roughly the same level. So I really have no preference over who he faces. I think if he faced Huey Fury, that's an obvious move that he's going towards Anthony Joshua in terms of Joseph Parker, who he's going after next. If he goes after Jarrell Miller, I assume that Joseph Parker is going after Deontay Wilder next. So that'd be my assumption. But yeah, what fight did you guys pick for the party?
Thurman Garcia.
Okay. Just making sure. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think that's the right choice?
I was giving people the opportunity to do Gennady Golovkin Jacobs, but everyone is saying the opposite.
Patreon has spoken.
I just think we all know, in a sense, what Triple G and Jacobs are going to be like. Yeah, we have like people like Info Joe who think Jacobs is going to win. But even though Info Joe is my boy, he's crazy for thinking that, you know? Like, Thurman Garcia is really split. You know, there's a lot of people picking Danny Garcia, which has me surprised because I'm not a big Danny Garcia fan. And I think Danny Garcia is going to lose that fight in a very wide decision. But it still seems like that's a 50-50 fight amongst the fans. So, of course, that's going to be more reaction to want to go to that fight, right? Like, that makes sense.
Not to mention, that's an actual unification fight where the WBA's case for Golovkin and Jacobs is the big fish, small one.
Yeah, it's not a unification fight because, like, Golovkin already is fucking clearing that division out. You know what I'm saying?
And he's already the actual champion of the WBA. So I hate it when they're trying to build that up as, like, they're the two title holders.
There's already build up. Remember that face-off in the ring, man, that audio, bro. You know how that thing went down. This is
Danny Garcia looked like he looked like he had a yeast infection in there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he was hot. And what he was repeating, you only got one win. You only got one win. I'm going to fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
If Thurman's only got one, how many does Danny really got?
What? You're fucking disrespectful. Hey, Steven, I know you're doing it just for shits and giggles. You disrespectful right now.
Okay. I don't know. Ness seems like his feelings kind of got hurt, but I thought he had no emotions about
it. Yo, no emotions. The emotions I'm showing is when someone is this excited to get in the ring. When you ain't gotta sit around and read on the internet whether or not he wants more than 25%. Huh?
If y'all want to see me whip this guy's ass, make some noise.
Huh? That's built up right there.
I ain't no easy pickers, boy. All right?
You ain't no easy pickers. You just got cherry picked, man. He picked you.
No.
Al Hammer
was like, yo, we gave you. What the fuck is his last opponent's name? What's his name? So you gotta fight somebody now.
Listen to me, because he came into the game, dog. The way Heyman does it for all his fighters, he gives you three options.
Yeah, and he's been taking the path of least resistance every single time.
There's always a path of least resistance. That's what I'm saying. You get three options. There's always a path.
Nope, not always. This was the one option. They knew this fight was gonna happen.
Don't act like Danny Garcia took this fight because he chose to.
His words.
That's some bullshit.
His words, not mine. He said, I chose you, not me. Nope. He said it. Why are you mad at me for?
Because you are essentially using it as fact. Like that's okay.
Right now, because you.
Because I'm a Keith Thurman fan because I like the better boxer. I like boxers, Ness. Don't you like boxers?
I do. I do.
Well, I'll tell you straight up that Keith Thurman is the boxer, but Danny Garcia, since you got emotions.
Keith Thurman is the smart choice.
No, Keith Thurman is the boxer. He's the technical fighter. He's the technical boxer. He's the
popular choice. But you
make exceptions because you have emotions, right?
Face nobody like DSG. Never.
I know. Maybe he's never faced anybody with slower foot speed.
Never. And
he fought somebody like Thurman though. Can we compare?
Hell no.
Who's been on the main show longer, man? Who's been on the main show longer?
I know. Rod Salka got a shot, so Keith Thurman gets a shot. Who's been on the
main show longer, huh? How many championship fights this guy got? How many champions he's fought? Let's not be this.
Matt. We already know Matt. Matt's on Keith Thurman because Matt's not as biased as Ness is.
No. There's no bias.
There's no bias.
Okay, so check this analogy. If Triple G already faced, and don't stay stuck on it, MD. It's just a yes or no answer. We're going to go to another division.
We're not talking about Triple G. We're talking about Danny.
I'm talking divisional. If Triple G had already faced Jacobs and, let's say, either Saunders or Canelo, right? Would you be questioning if he's legitimate or not?
Danny Garcia did not face that in the welterweight division.
I'm asking you a question. Would you or not?
He hasn't even fought a welterweight, Ness.
Would you or not?
No.
All right. Would you question Jermall Charlo if he beats now Boo Boo Andrade at 54 after beating Trout and Julian Williams?
Question him already. He's a good fighter. Then.
So why is Danny the only guy that gets questioned?
Because he hasn't done shit at welterweight. All of his wins are at 140. We know this. It's old news, Ness.
Everybody moves up. Floyd moved up. Pacquiao moved up. Great fighters move up.
Well, yeah, and we also have to factor in how he looked against Herrera and Lamont Peterson. And the choices that he's chosen.
Lamont Peterson, you watch that fight.
Doesn't matter if he won or lost. It matters that he didn't look good.
It does matter. Perception is important. And when we went back and watched it for our Patreon followers, Mr. MD was fucking backpedaling. He couldn't find rounds to give Lamont Peterson.
Yo, but there's times that he didn't look good. Again, can you say that?
All right, but that's why there's 12 rounds in a
fight. Keith Thurman is a lot better than Lamont Peterson. No disrespect.
He's also vulnerable to the body, and he showed that on
both. Danny Garcia has ever been a body puncher. He's a headhunter, bro. With that left hook.
Let me tell you something. With Danny
and Ness, even you gave Thurman credit for taking that body punch and staying up. He didn't go down.
But he showed vulnerability, and Danny got a mean left hook to the body. Now on top.
Nope, not to the body.
Not to the body. This is a weirdo kid right here. His combination is.
Who has he dropped to the body? Who has Danny Garcia dropped to the body?
He's gonna drop you to the body.
To
the body.
Never done him.
Soften you up to slow you.
He's a headhunter. He couldn't hit Herrera to the body. You couldn't hit Herrera to the body.
Okay. Listen, you pick Thurman then. That's why this.
I am picking Thurman. I'm picking Thurman. I'm picking Thurman by stoppage.
This is the
Danny Garcia gets hit every fucking fight. No. Lamont Peterson fucked his face up.
It's so sad. It's so sad, right? Steven, this is what's going on, right? I get called biased, right? I get made fun of, right? But my guy that I'm defending, he's at least challenging himself. This is the third fucking time he stepped up to the plate when the world has thought that he wouldn't. We still waiting for other people. I'm not even going to say names.
No, this is his second time.
This is the second time in a row for Thurman. But this is the second time in a row for Thurman. Thurman's back to back.
Third time. This is the third time because Amir Khan, he was a 7-1 underdog. I don't give a fuck if Amir ain't got no chin now.
That's three times in 5 years.
No, he didn't have a chin back either. That's what the fuck. Now he doesn't have a chin, but he had a chin back then.
Has Golovkin ever been 7-1? Has Wilder ever been 7-1? Has Vladimir ever been 7-1?
What are you talking about?
Has anybody else been 7-1?
Hell no. Golovkin's never been 7-1 because look at that amateur record, homie. All right. Look at that amateur record.
All right. So you get my point.
I get your point that Golovkin is higher, that Danny Garcia overcame a big win, and that's the reason why he could act the way he acts. Because people like you have been fucking dick riding him consistently, allowing him to fight opponents. Now that he's fighting a good opponent, you act like he's been challenging himself his entire career.
My point is this, and this is going to take a little bit of time. Joseph Parker is going to have to beat Anthony Joshua and Wilder and Fury to do what Danny's done, or at least challenge all three of them and win to two. Okay, win versus two. Gennady Golovkin's gonna have to do it versus Jacobs, Saunders, and Canelo.
Beat two
and lose to one, because you already
Matisse was a great win. He was not undefeated.
In your eyes, you already calling Thurman a loss for him. So again, at least two. Who else? Crawford. At 140, who could he get? Broner? Who else? 40. You're going to have to – producer.
What about
– Handle that. Because
– Omar Figueroa.
Now, the welterweight division – is obviously one of the best divisions. So, you know, that's the most lucrative one. So, even one win puts you on a different stratosphere. But to be legitimate – you know, you're going to need a couple of them, but resume matters. I don't know. Matt, would you disagree?
Here's the thing, because, like, you've been talking about how, like, MD saying that Thurman's going to outclass and finish Garcia is disrespectful. But is it mutually exclusive to say that Danny Garcia is a great fighter, but that he has the worst style for Keith Thurman? Like, are those two things?
Well, I would never say Danny's a great fighter.
Being existence?
I would never say Danny's a great fighter.
I never said that either.
I would never say Danny's a great fighter at all. And I would say, yeah, it's a bad style matchup for Danny to go in there with Thurman, who's a mover, a good mover. He's got great legs. And like I said,
he
can punch with both hands. But there's a reason that Danny feels that he was always number one in the amateurs when Thurman was right there watching him be number one. There's a reason that Danny feels that his manager, who's the same manager for Keith Thurman.
That reason is delusion.
Okay. There's a reason that same manager that promotes both of them.
You saw it, speaking of career.
Yo, listen, let me finish.
Matt's about to KO you.
Let me finish so you see the importance. Okay. They both turned pro the same year. One dude was a champion for a long time. That's all I'm saying. Now, again, yo, Thurman is the goods. But Jesus Soto Carras hurt.
One dude was promoted better early on, I guess, or marketed better early
really?
On.
Really? Or was he pushed to sink or swim? And
he overcame that. He
rises to the top.
Stop pretending that Eric – you know what bothers me is
– what?
Because you're so biased that you bring up the Eric Morales win like that was something. The Matisse win was good, but like Eric Morales was like, where did he start his career, producer, Eric Morales?
Yeah, you check that out. And while he's doing that, let me tell you, Eric Morales
is a Hall of Famer, but he was at the end of his career and he brought him up. So don't act like that he overcame anything in that fight.
My man, Danny was a late replacement. He was a late replacement, and he fought an overweight Eric Morales who didn't care because he thought he had it in the bag. He was an underdog then. And just to be technical, my friend, I never even brought up Eric Morales.
You always do.
I never brought it up because I understand that hipsters like you think he's too old when he was just in a Fight of the Year candidate with Marcus Madonna. Marcus Madonna, who also went on to go and fight Mayweather.
Hipsters don't like me.
Mm-hmm. Hipsters like you. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All
right. So I have some answers. I got some answers. All right. Eric Morales started his career at 122 at the junior featherweight. And as far as Terrence Crawford at 140, if you ask me, he's already halfway there because he beat Victor Postu, who was an undefeated champion at the time. And although Crawford was not an outstanding underdog, I do remember a significant amount of people who were picking Victor Postu. He would have to still be probably Adrian Broner and then obviously Julius Ndongo, who just won that IBF belt with that spectacular KO.
And I don't know who, you know, it would have to be guys like us that sit around here and talk boxing every single fucking day that will give Terrence Crawford credit over Julius, because 2 months and two hot coffees later, we won't even remember Julius's name. Hopefully he pans out to be more than just a one hit wonder. Let's get to Alex Lemon in the chat. Talk to us. Yo, we're going to end this too. Miller is taking forever. What up, man? Over here furious that we're waiting on Miller all day.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Great, great shows today, man. Hey, I want to let you guys know, man, I ain't no fanboy or nothing, man, but I got a Danny Garcia hater list, and I'm keeping track of all these people, man, because March 5th, everybody eating crow. And I got Boxing MD on there, too.
Hey, man, don't be conflicting lists with me, dude. This isn't pick day. Thursday before the fight is pick day. You can make your list. The official one will be in this blue ledger.
For sure. I just on the chat, man. There's like, I got 22 of these people, man. Everyone believes that Danny's going to lose. But, I mean, Errol Spence, he beat a 41-year-old Bundu, and he was supposed to be the greatest already. And Danny beat a 35-year-old Judah and gets no respect. Thurman beat Guerrero, and they say Thurman's the best now. Danny beat Guerrero, and he gets no respect. And so I got to dispute this, man. I think it's they can't see through the hate.
Did Danny beat Guerrero after Thurman had already done it?
Not only that, Judah had
already been stopped like twice. And then you got to consider the fact that I think that was it. I don't remember anything else you said.
Listen, man, it's all good. Alex, thanks for calling in. Look, we're going to wrap this one up. Miller's taking forever. We got our official show later on tonight, and we got to give these guys a rest. We've been doing this too much. Miller, I guess the sparring was a little more than expected. You got a little DSG talk early. Some early debates.
Oh, my God, I totally forgot. I had to make sure because I didn't make a mistake. He beat Guerrero. Aaron Martinez is a stud, bro. He's a stud. He hit so hard. He knocked out fucking Guerrero and put him back to life. He was a different man. They take life-changing beatings, just like we saw B-Hop decline overnight after he took a life-changing beating against fucking Kovalev. You guys need to grow the fuck up and listen to MD, because MD knows his shit.
And you can follow MD where exactly?
You could follow me at Boxing MD1. And Nestor Gibbs will be taking crow whatever day Danny Garcia loses.
Steven, New York City, Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia. Will we be seeing you in the Barclays Center?
You already know I'm there, man. Fucking there. I'm walking. I'm starting my walk tomorrow. MD's I should get there in time.
MD's the only one not coming because of Triple G.
I still got to check with the little lady, but I'm assuming she ain't going to give me no flack about it. I think she'd be down.
Uh-oh. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a show that didn't amount to what it was supposed to be, but you got some debate for sure. So we'll see you guys later.
I guess Big Baby Miller's name's too big for TBV. He should fight Fury even more now.
Later.